What's up, folks? It's an optimistic draft preview. Draft results of hitting the high notes. Jazz Talk is I am here, the voice invading your ear holes. On the Twitterverse at WhoTrustSuperman, that's HUUTRN Superman. Follow the podcast account at Jazz High Notes number 2. And we are here with the Beaner himself, Mr. Bean, Alma Bean 23. What's up, man?
How's it going? We're chilling. We're doing good. Especially after how that draft went. I'm feeling just fine.
Very ironic way to do it. I mean, so let's give you a rundown of our day for the people who care. Most people don't. But I worked today. My coworker and I, we went to like, I guess the media war room. It's not the Jazz war room, but we were not
war room B.
Yeah, we were not at the Delta Center, but we were in the war room with, you know, beat writers and such. You know all the heavy hitters that you think of. We were there with them, and so we were there. We were in the room where it happened. So we got to talk to the draft picks. We had a press conference with Jay-Z afterwards. Justin Zanuck. Alma, he got the party on, Garth, the Jazz draft party, which was actually planned this year. If, we remember from last year, the party not planned. They had actually had a, BMX, skateboard, whatever, something planned in the middle of it. Talk about the stark differences this year from last year, Alma.
So, first off, before we even get to the actual Delta Center, I want to mention that last year's draft party was because a fan went ahead and reached out to Ryan Smith on Twitter and was like, hey, we got a bunch of first-round draft picks. Why aren't we doing a draft party? We should do a draft party. And then, 2 days beforehand, he's like, I got you.
Right.
Only if you guys are okay with these skateboarders practicing during the entire thing. So last year there was a really good turnout. I want to say a majority of the lower bowl was filled, and then there were some stragglers in the upper bowl last year. This year was the exact opposite. I think there was maybe roughly 400-500 people total.
Yep.
And it looked abysmal.
Yeah.
Like it was not good to look at. And I mean, I tried to record a couple times as the draft went on, maybe it was just timing, people getting off of work. I mean, it's a Wednesday, doors opened up at 5, people are just getting off of work, draft doesn't start till 6, so maybe people will straggle in, but there wasn't much improvement. But even with the additional 100, 200 people that showed up after I took my initial video, I mean, the crowd was still roaring for the draft picks that were coming around, for some of the giveaways that they were doing. It was pretty solid reception. But I think the biggest thing that they fumbled was that there wasn't free food. Genuinely, more people are going to show up when there's free things, and the only free thing that they had was you might win a T-shirt. So, Oh, and they gave out some free sunglasses. No one is driving out of their way to go to the Delta Center for a potential free T-shirt, a free pair of sunglasses, and, oh, by the way, we have new merch that will be available in 2 weeks when we are here for Summer League.
Monica, when I tell you this. Monica, your food is abysmal. The odds were just, not in the Jazz favor this time, but we're talking about odds real quick. This podcast brought to you by the B-League Network and Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. I went to a little MMA thing last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Professional Fire League, PFL, so, I'm kind of a fan. Every step, every matchup, and every live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. It's interesting to me. So you think the biggest attribution to why last year was such a rocking party Because you know, I talked about this on the podcast before, how the company we worked for, like, we tried to get a draft party. You know, people were excited last year for the draft. And 2 days before, like, the Jazz pulled the rug from underneath us and made their own draft party. So that killed our draft party. This year, there was no talk of, you know, maybe number one, being burned from that. Number two, just, you know, again, like, the draft just doesn't seem that important this year. There's been a lot more focus on hockey the last month or so.
Oh, absolutely.
I think the professor even tweeted out something like, hey, I was not, you know, I was ready to go full in on hockey this year. And the draft this year just kind of turned him around. But, like, is it just the free J-Dogs?
I don't want to say it's just the free J-Dogs because, again.
Is it 80% J-Dogs?
I would lean it down to 70. Mm, 70. Okay. Just like Professor said, there are so many people that I personally have been in contact with that either didn't know that there was a Jazz draft party, or when those two presses were put out together, they thought that it was just a second page talking about the NHL draft party on Friday.
Interesting.
So with that being said, it's a lot harder to go ahead and convince people to come out for one of these events on a Wednesday when you have the NHL draft on a Friday. It'll be a lot easier. I know people who have already requested off of work to come to this event.
That's interesting because last year's was on a midday too. It was probably a Thursday, I want to say.
But now it's not the only show in town.
Yeah, and that's so.
So now there's going to be internal competition.
I guess what I'm getting at is like last year there was a lot more just more casual fans who showed up, and this year they did not get those casual fans to show up.
And then even going based off of the performance of the team, there's been huge burnout, and we've talked about it multiple times on this podcast. Just so many people are burnt out, and they're just like, okay, the Jazz are going to win 30 games, and we're getting these guys that are good that are probably going to spend a lot of time in the G League or, at best, bench players.
Yeah.
Am I really supposed to get excited about this? Which is... Me, personally, I love development, so I will get excited, and I have convinced myself that there are good enough people in this draft, but, like, for the casual fans, like, this is not an event for them to go to because... Like I said, we're going to watch a team win 30 games, and we're going to get excited about a guy that's going to play for the Salt Lake City Stars.
So I'm going to paint the picture here. We're 2023. Again, the big draft party, lines around the block, free J-Dogs. You get to see guys practicing the BMX. But there's a lot more buzz. The Jazz have three first-round picks, 9, 16, 27. Things are going well, you know, very, very happy. End of the draft night, people are thoroughly unimpressed. People think, you know, just really, really awful job by the Jazz. A lot of guys that were on that the Jazz passed on, just, you know, the Jazz, you know, not only missed out on Victor Wembanyama, but passed on like five multi-time All-Stars after 9, 16, and 27. Jazz literally made every wrong pick they could. Most fans felt that way. Now let's fast forward, you know, just a year later, all of a sudden the front office, you know, they fired everybody who was bad last year. They've hired people that look just like them this year, probably lizard people, if we're being honest. And these guys did so much, a much better job, at picks that were worse, at 10 and 29, picks that were worse than they had last year, but hit a home run in what, you know, a lot of people have said was a weaker draft. So this is very ironic when you think about it in those terms. The feeling in Jazz, like, I mean, the reason we're doing a podcast tonight, and I don't think we did a podcast last year after, I mean, you weren't here yet, but we didn't do a podcast last year after the draft because like, we're like, who really cares that much? We might have, but, you know, we're like, just not excited. This year, very exciting. The Jazz, number 10, take Jalen Williams' brother, Cody Williams. Number 29, Isaiah Dave Coulier's Dave Coulier's a brother, Isaiah Coulier. I believe they say and spell their name differently, but I'm pretty sure they're brothers. Cut it out. He plays Joey on Full House.
Yes.
So, the Jazz get two pretty good picks that have some sort of like celebrity reference or whatever. Now, I don't know. Like, I mean, I feel like you're more excited this year than you were last year at the draft party.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially like with last year, I wasn't 100% sure on what the plan was for Taylor Hendricks, but also with where the draft projections were, the entire time it was like, yeah, Utah's taking Taylor Hendricks, and no one else strayed from that. Every sort of mock draft that came out, everyone was just all in on Utah getting Taylor Hendricks at 9. So I was like, okay, we're going to go ahead and get a power forward. What is he good at? I wasn't sure that his level of competition playing at UCF was going to be worthwhile. When they went ahead and took Keontae at 16, I wasn't fully bought in on him trying to play point guard. They talked about that that's what they wanted to go ahead and do. I personally think that he should stick at the 2 at the day of the draft. So I was like, okay, they're wanting him to switch positions. That's not going to do very well, which, I mean, at times it looked like it was the best option that the Jazz had, but then there's been other nights where it was like, oh, why is he turning the ball over so much? He's getting so frustrated. He's stuck in his head. And then with Bryce Ensabaugh, you had no way to get him any sort of minutes until the end of the season. And in my opinion, I thought that he was going to stay with the Stars all season. That's what I genuinely thought of those 3 draft picks last year. Now, 2024 draft, I mean, you get Cody Williams at 10, which for a lot of draft boards, you had him like top 7, top 8. So having him go to 10, yes, he dropped. But I mean, when it comes to top 10, like, you can have a handful of changes in there. And it's deemed all right. But again, a drop. So, great. Utah went ahead and got a guy, and I think that that's a great pick. Even though he's listed as a shooting guard, he's 6'7". I believe that you should probably shift him to the 3, and then he would go ahead and be your backup for Lauri Markkanen. I think that that would be a solid substitution, especially since he's a great defender, especially with what he was able to show in Colorado. But then you go ahead and get Isaiah Collier, which, based off of what a lot of other mock drafts have said, a lot of different analysts, he's the second best ball handler in the draft, which was behind Nikola Topic. So the fact that you're not even getting Topic in this season, mm-hmm. just because he went ahead and tore his ACL, you're now
idiot.
Now you're saying that the Jazz got the best ball handler and facilitator in the draft
healthy.
At the 29th.
Healthy facilitator.
But at the 29th pick. Yeah. And again, Danny Ainge went ahead and said going into the offseason, he does not see Keontae as the point guard of the future. So why not invest in a point guard? And now you have that with your 29th pick. So I am personally excited at the fact that the front office was able to not jump the gun, not make any trades to go ahead and overpay for somebody. Mm-hmm. But they were able to sit back and get the people that they wanted or people that they didn't think that they were going to have access to just fell in their lap. And now they're going to be able to develop these guys. You're having such a young core between Collier, Williams, Sensabaugh, Hendricks, George. And if you want to throw Kessler in there, like you have.
I'm good.
But I mean, if you think about it, like those guys are rookie. First year, second year, whatever. So you
Walker Kessler's going to play in summer league, so I mean that counts.
Yeah. So now think about that. Now you're going into summer league. Mm-hmm. That is some solid.
Yep. Rotations. A couple of the Will Hardy came into the press conference after he was not in the press conference, but he just came in to just kind of talk with us. One of the beat writers was like, yeah, your team's going to be stacked, man. It might be the most stacked summer league roster.
Yeah, that summer league team is going to be elite. For summer league.
Will Hardy goes, well, I don't know about that because, last year, OKC brought their whole starting lineup besides, Shea. And, you know, we all get a laugh. But, but this could be, you know, number one, a second-year Walker Kessler should, you know, be putting up 30 points every night in summer league. You know, there should be no reason why he should not dominate that league. We'll see if he plays in Vegas. I mean, he'll probably play Salt Lake, but maybe not Vegas. We'll see. We'll see.
I could see him doing a little bit of Vegas.
Yeah, he could.
Like, not like a large amount. Like, yeah. I could see him maybe doing, like, 2-3 games tops.
So, the Jazz, again, you know, but, I'm going to be a pessimist here. Like, cool. This is a draft full of cab drivers, one of my new favorite terms. a draft full of cab drivers. You were excited, you know, again, a draft that a lot of people have talked themselves into,
myself included,
I, again, I, we go back in time. I tell you, you know, 9 months ago, start of the season, like, okay, Jazz are drafting Cody Williams and Dave Coulier is a you ought to know brother. And we wouldn't be very excited at all. But,
To be honest, like, if you would have told me this at the beginning of the season, like, yep, Jazz are going to have the 10th and 29th pick. This is the route that they're going to take, like, including the trades and such. Yeah. So, like, again, like, oh, we're getting rid of Ochai Agbaji and Kelly Olynyk. Just knowing that going into the season, I would have called you crazy. I would have thought that that was a really bad move. Mm-hmm. But, again, like, so, the season unfolded the way it did.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, if the Jazz are going to go ahead and draft, might as well find people to be excited about rather than just moping around. Because, I mean, if that's your team, be excited for it.
I'm trying to figure out how much of this is confirmation bias, how much of this is us just trying to talk ourselves into something to be excited about, because we want to be. There are Jazz fans who want to be excited. There are Jazz fans who want something to cheer for. Last year was very draining for them. 3 years ago was very draining for Jazz. The Donovan Rudy Jazz teams that could not keep leads in the fourth quarter, very draining. Losing to the Clippers, like, it piles up, 8 second violation, all this stuff. Like, we're getting so close. We're giving our hopes to this, and then time after time after time again, just finding a new way to get beat down. And are we just, you know, is it a shiny new toy? Like, okay, Cody Williams and Isaiah Collier. Collier. Are we just trying to talk ourselves into, you know, saying, right? Because there's a non-zero chance that Hendricks, Sensabaugh, and Keontae are just better than those guys, you know, throughout the rest of his career. Like, there's a chance that Cody Williams and Isaiah just don't really amount to anything, because this is that kind of draft that a lot of their ceilings are supposed to be role players. Not to, like, douse all the optimism, but that's what we thought 6 months ago. We're already talking about, now we kind of have a crowded backcourt. Dynasty football on the mind. Crowded backcourt now, right? You got Keontae, you got Isaiah, Clarkson, Sensabaugh shooting guard, I guess.
I mean, you could throw him in there. I mean, they said that they wanted to go ahead and have him do some more, like, ball handling, facilitating roles.
Yeah, Sensabaugh, I don't know where his position is in the NBA.
Because he's, like, 2-3.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it. 2-3.
Yeah. I mean, Cody Williams is going to be 2-3 as well. So, there's a crowded backcourt. Maybe Keontae's not it. I think on this podcast, I think I've been pretty clear. Like, I don't know if Keontae's it. I don't know. Look, if you're a fan and you want to, hit your wagon, go for it. Don't let me douse that fire.
Yeah, like, continue to express your fandom. But, like, everyone's fandom has a right to their own opinion.
I'm very hesitant to be like, oh yeah, cool. Like, the next Donovan Mitchell is Keontae George. I guess because I'm putting my GM hat on, I'm sort of trying to think of future. Like, man, if Keontae George was it, then, the Jazz should really build around him. But, I mean, if I have enough doubts, which I do, about Keontae being, like, just a future multi-time superstar, all-star player, then I'm like, yeah, like, there should be no hesitation to draft a player like Isaiah this year, thinking that he might take Keontae's spot. If I, if I think Isaiah Collier, gosh, what am I saying? You say his last name, but
Collier.
Oh, that's what's weird. I was going to go Coulier. So Isaiah Coulier, if he's just better than Keontae, then there should be no, like, hesitation to, no one draft him, but just to play him in front of Keontae.
And that's where I think Summer League might be a good thing for Keontae, because, I mean, he's also going to be playing in it. Mm-hmm. Shoot, maybe Will Hardy will go ahead and, try and spark a fire under him, and maybe a handful of games start Collier. And then Keontae come in with the bench unit. And that might spark something. Like, genuinely, that might be a plan for Will Hardy, because if they are going to need to have him run the point, you're going to have to figure out, how are we going to go ahead and make this work? Yeah. How are we going to get Keyonte George to go ahead and make that next step to either be a better two guard or a better point? It's one or the other. So it's either Isaiah Cloyer, when it goes out there and just does what he needs to do, facilitates the ball, finds the open guy, just court vision galore. And then Keyonte is just not able to get up there, and then just playing second fiddle to him. Or Cloyer does that. Uh-huh. Keyonte's like, no, this is my spot. This is my team. And the next thing you know, we got a guy that's averaging double digit assists. That would be great.
Yeah, and there's a you know, the opposite is also true, right? Like, I mean, I just could just kind of cement that Keyonte is just not going to be a star player. Like, he at best is a backup shooting guard. Because, like, it just might prove that he's just not there. Like, and maybe Keontae's great year was just the result of the Jazz just had nothing else. And he had enough volume to make it look good. And, you know, it could be somewhere in the middle, too. But, you know, this is a good test to see, kind of a prove-it year for Keyonte. Like, he doesn't have to prove a lot, but he's got to show something so we can see what direction he is. Because, again, if I'm Jay-Z, if I'm D.A., Danny Ainge, I kind of, you know, I need to find out what I have. You know, the Jazz look like they may have three rookies this year, three rookies from last year. You know, we're going to count Walker Kessler because, like, his second year was ruined by Steve Kerr, obviously. We have, you know, 7 to 8 young guys on this team, and you gotta eventually figure out what you have. Like, it's like when you ever play Spades, the card game Spades.
So I've never played it. I've watched.
Okay, like, well, you get your, like, you get, you know, 13 cards in your hand to mm-hmm. begin with, and you kind of have to figure out how many of these hands can I win, like, right before you do anything. And you, all right, well, if you have ace, you're gonna win that one, right? Most times.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of just count up, and you have to kind of guess, like, do I have one? Do I have six? You know, you have to be very for all the space. You know, I'm trying to do non-gambling metaphors, but yeah. So, and plus I've been playing Spades a lot, so. Yeah, you kind of have to, you know, figure out what you have at some point. You know, you can't just keep waiting on these guys. Like, patience is a virtue, but it's the NBA, and, you know,
patience can be a killer.
Yeah, like if you wait too long, you're like okay, if you hold on too long to the guys, then you can't move them. You can't figure out what to do. Like Dante Exum, the Jazz didn't know what to do with him for years. You know, he had too many injuries, couldn't figure it out. You know, maybe they sold too low. It's hard to tell because they could never know what they had. So it was just hard to, you know, you got to figure it out sooner than later. And sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you're going to take a shot on a guy or let a guy go too soon. But you have to be okay with that. You know, you have to be okay, like, hey, you know, I'm confident enough in my job to say I've seen what I need to see. And, you know, you cut bait or you go all in. So.
And I think right now, like, the Jazz are in a solid position for that.
Right.
Like, I don't expect too much winning basketball this year. Like, I expect maybe, like, 35 wins.
Yeah, whatever's going to get them the ninth pick in the draft next year is going to be where they're at.
Yeah, like, I genuinely think, like, 35 wins is a solid.
You know, whatever they've done the last 2 years, they're on track. Like, somewhere in the 9-10 pick range is...
Which, again, that's still going to go ahead and, like, test people's fandom. But, like, I think with how many draft picks Utah has next year, you also have the protection on their pick for
top
OKC.
Top 10 again. That's the thing. It'll be right where, like,
it's exactly the same as we were this year.
Exactly. Like,
only difference is that there's going to be a lot of viewers on Cleveland and Minnesota. Yeah. It's going to be a really interesting season because you're going to go ahead and see how much of this Jazz fan base is going to look forward to the future mm-hmm. and how many people are going to sulk in the present.
Yep. I'm going to do both. That's who I am as a person.
And that's where I'm personally going to struggle because, you know, I'm going to be there every single game. Fandom's still going to run through me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and still dress head to toe in all the Jazz gear I can possibly find. And win or loss, I'm just going to put out my live tweets, put some videos, some photos. And then at the end of the night, just be like, well, Jazz lost by 35, but they're going to be back at it on Tuesday.
Please look at his tweets. Blue checkmark over here needs to pay some bills. So,
yeah, if you want to share my stuff, give me a quarter. That's great.
Yeah, for all his Jazz gear that he bought today. So, bought and got for free. So, So again, let's go back. Like, look, you're going to listen to Jack Pony, right? You're going to listen to all these other Jazz podcasts who are going to be very happy about the draft picks. And I think, look, honestly. Thought the draft picks, I didn't know a lot about these guys, but going into it, coming out of it, I'm like, you know what? Those guys look pretty good. Like, there's a lot there, but I'm not buying into it just because, again, I try not to be overreactionary. Mm-hmm. Okay, 6 months ago, we said this is going to be a pretty bad draft. That's where I'm at until we get there. What I kind of like about this approach that, the Jazz took, like the top three or four sounds like they're going to be pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, sounds good. But nobody that really blew you away. Like, there's two of my French players went 1 and 2. Three and four, Reed Shepard, Stephen Castle. So some names people knew. But then, again, it went really weird after that.
Yeah. It went off the rails. Yeah,
Dennis Lindsay giving us another draft gift. I believe Reed Shepard was described as the Yudoka Azubuki of the first five picks. So, big doke. This draft was sort of like okay, like nobody blew you away in the top four. Like there's some solid players, and there's gonna be solid players, and there's gonna be somebody that's probably pretty good from this draft again.
Like, we're going to look back at it with hindsight and just be right, like, oh, exactly, man, I can't believe we let this guy go at 16. And it's like, when we looked at this draft, he didn't prove enough, he was the 16th pick.
Is it Dalton Kincaid next? I don't know. Is
Jared McCain going to go ahead and be the face of the NBA? Who knows?
There's a chance that there's a guy in this draft. And the fun part is that, like, the expectations are just not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's hard when you draft, Scoot Henderson in top three.
And you have the high expectations for him, and then it's just consistent failure because you're not reaching those expectations. Right.
Brandon Miller, another top three pick last year, like, he's done pretty good.
And he didn't even meet the expectations right off the bat either.
Yeah, exactly.
He had to win over the fan base.
There's a lot of top 10 guys from last year's draft that everybody thought was going to be really good and either got bad situations or just whatever, for whatever reason.
And you can even look at Taylor Hendricks. A lot of people were like, why would you take a guy at the ninth pick and he spends half the season in the G League?
So the nice part is, like, this year, like, maybe the hit rate's the same. Maybe the hit, like, when I say hit rate, I'm talking about the 0.5% chance that this guy that you drafted becomes the next Giannis, the next Jokic. Mm-hmm. Doncic was was a top five pick. So let's Embiid. Embiid was a three pick.
Yeah, Embiid was pretty up there.
Okay, so
let's say a Devin Booker.
There we go, Booker. So just
Klay Thompson.
Yeah. So let's just Giannis and Jokic are probably the best examples.
Chris Middleton.
But yeah, like
I'm reaching.
Like guys that are just like game changers that. People thought there was a very small chance that they could reach that, but they did. Like, mm-hmm. they reached the top of their ceilings. And the nice part is that, like, I think the Jazz at least have that dart throw, and there's no expectations. Mm-hmm. And these rookies coming in, I think their first year probably will not hit that ceiling. But, man, if they come in and, like, just kind of over, show something, if Cody Williams shows that his length – is actually really dominating. So they're like, oh, okay, like, cool. Like, he's got that already in the bag. Like, say he's locked down the defender or spot, whatever, spot shooter, locked down defender, whatever, that one thing he's just amazing at. And you're like, wow, if he just starts, cutting to the basket more, if he starts doing this more, and then you see that in year two, like, oh, my God, like, we have a bona fide superstar. That could happen. Same thing with Isaiah. Like him, right now he can break the paint. I think he's a great paint breaker. If he develops an amazing shot or something, and you're like, okay, yeah. Like, the Jazz did it. The Jazz found Jimmy Butler, right, at 30. The Jazz found somebody so late, and he's, it didn't cost him anything. They don't have to tank anymore. Like, the Jazz have found their number one. that would be really amazing if it came from this draft. So,
and that's what I'm really looking forward to, is that with this upcoming season, like you said, there's little to no expectations for this team.
Yep.
So with that, does Will Hardy take that chance and experiment with lineups? Why not give some of these guys some minutes? Like, yes, you're going to have the guys that have to get minutes, like Markkanen and Clarkson. So when you go ahead and get those guys their minutes, and, you know, you can mess around with some lineups. I mean, shoot, you're on a 6-7 game losing streak. Why not get Cody Williams an extra 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, mess around, find out.
Or, you know, you wanna try like a small ball lineup. Let's get Isaiah Collier out there. Let's go ahead and run four guards in the center.
Get crazy. Get crazy out there, Will.
Because, I mean, like, if you're not really, like, trying to compete this upcoming year, like, granted, they'll come out to the public and be like, oh, we wanna make the playoffs. No. So, like, why not take this year, experiment? You got so many options going into next year's draft that, like, is it really going to hurt you to go ahead and try and, you know?
There is no try. There's only do. So,
do the right thing and give these guys minutes. Whether they're meaningful minutes or not, get them some NBA reps. If you don't think that that's possible, get them their G League reps, so then these fans can go ahead and get excited about these picks for what was deemed a mediocre draft class. Why not? It's not going to hurt.
So, a fun draft for the Jazz. We saw some, again, just... I go back to, like, how surprised I am about how happy people are about this draft. Again, and, you know, confirmation bias, whatever it is, you know, we should be happy. We have not had many things to be happy about. So, you know, let's keep it and keep it that way. But, you know, this is just kind of a weird draft. I wonder, like, how it was viewed, because, you know, they're splitting the second round up now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Jazz, this actually affects the Jazz. And I asked Will Hardy off record, and I should ask Justin Zanuck this, but I asked Will Hardy off record, I'm like, hey, you know, second round is sort of the super speedy speed round. You know, like, I think they would go from 5 minutes to 3 minutes per pick, and you just have to go. Like, they would, you know, the Jazz would have made pick 29, pick 30 would be done, and then boom, all of a sudden, you know, 10 minutes later, they're up again at 32. Now they get tonight, you know, like, Justin Zach, cool, okay, takes it, but they're probably, you know, he's probably on the phone right now, calling, talking to people. You know, before this draft, you know, there are a lot of people I respect, you know, Ken Clayton, you know, a bunch of people that I respect, their opinions on basketball. We're like, the Jazz are probably going to consolidate picks. Like, you know, be very surprised that they're going to take three picks. But you see the names that are still available. And I know the fans are excited about it. And I think what came through with Justin Zanuck in the press conference afterwards was that, you know, pleasantly surprised that Cody Williams was there. Generally surprised that Isaiah was there, very happy that he was there. Because Isaiah didn't come in for a workout for the Jazz.
Yeah.
So, you know, they went and got him anyway. You know, best player available.
Yeah, I was going to say, as long as it's the best player available, I mean, might as well make the reach.
Yeah, I said, 29. So at 32, there actually might be a few more guys that they thought might be gone at this point. Because, like, you know, like, the Bucks took A.J. Johnson, and nobody had that on their bingo card, right?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have had him until, like, mid-second round. Yep.
Funny thing is that the Jazz kind of gave the media, they're like, okay, here's a gift card. It was supposed to be like, who did the Jazz pick at 10? But then, you know, it was like, what if the Jazz trade up? Like, can we make that pick too? And so it became, who was the Jazz going to be the first pick? And so I let my coworker Sam take Stephen Castle. I took Zach Edey. I was like, he's gonna be top 10 pick. I kind of wanted to go Bronny to be really funny, but I also want to win the gift card. So
so you actually had to be realistic on who they were gonna take with.
And
that.
So I took I took Zach Edey instead. And how realistic? Man, I was a pick away.
Yeah, which, I mean, to be honest, like, that's gonna be a solid pick for Memphis, and another person we're gonna see here in Salt Lake.
Yeah, John Morant, I tweeted this out too, because John Morant, have you seen, do you see his Instagram story?
I went ahead and saw it.
It's pretty funny. Chris Tucker, Rush Hour 2, like, you know, if you haven't seen it, but it's really funny. So John Morant winning his way back into our hearts. So now the Jazz have, you know, the 24 hours, like, I mean, 22 hours, whatever, 20 hours. But, you know, Justin Zanuck's probably on the phone right now. The first few picks of the second round, sort of like, you know, people always say they're basically for, you know, quote unquote, first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys slip through every year. So this is a way to kind of go get a cheap first round pick because it's a non-guaranteed contract, but you still have a little bit of control over their contracts. So you can kind of go out there and give them, you know, there's not really a rookie scale, I believe, for second round picks. So, like, you know, there are teams like, you know, the first and second apron, like the Knicks, right, was talked about being at the first apron already. The Warriors are going to be the apron. Like, there's going to be teams, the Suns, the Wolves are, you know, the Wolves went and got some, they have three free agents. That if they leave, they had no way to really recoup that because they're over the apron, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this is a way for teams to kind of like, okay, we want to, you know, come get cheap contracts on our team because we have no other way to improve our team. So the Jazz, at 32, they might make that pick, which is, you know, if I told you guys 24 hours ago that Jazz kept their first two picks, didn't make a trade, didn't trade out, do anything. And, you know, at 32, they still might make it. People were, again, oh, there's no way the Jazz are going to make all three picks, but they might.
I mean, and especially now that they've actually made the 10 and 29. Yeah. I was one of those people that thought that, like, oh, yeah, they're absolutely going to package 29 and 32 mm-hmm. to move up.
Yeah. And, you know, there's probably, you know, at least that Phoenix one at 22 was probably there. There's a couple of the spots that they probably could have done that at.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they just like everybody or maybe, and again, not, but here's the thing. They have 24 hours now, before they would have 10 minutes.
Like they can actually like think about this.
Yeah. 29 to 32 to really decide if they want it. This reminds me of the Jared Butler pick. From what the stories we heard was that they were riding the clock at 30. Right, and they're like, oh, we like some of these players, but they had to get that trade done by like pick 26 or 24, like 20 minutes beforehand. So Memphis could pick at 30. That's a Desmond Bane pick, right?
Yes,
because the Jazz.
Wait, no, that was when they had 30. Wasn't that a Santi Aldama? Wasn't that who it was that Utah had?
I don't remember.
One of those guys.
Anyway, yeah, the Jazz traded out of 30 to go to 40 to get Jared Butler, and they came out and they're like, oh, we love this, you know, like, he was really high on our board, he was, you know, there at 30 or 40, and come to, you know, when you kind of have to think about the timing of it, it's not like the draft day movie, like, you made that move, you know, three or four picks before. It's not like in our dynasty fantasy football. It's not like in our dynasty fantasy football where you have all the time to get going, look at trades. Like, you have a clock. And, you know, it's, you know, trying to finalize the deal, call it into the league, and then call the league again to make your deal. Like, you're probably not doing it in that 5-minute window. And so now the Jazz have, you know, this whole day to look at the 32 and be like, okay, do we want to make this pick? You know, do we want to have another rookie? Or maybe somebody comes up with a godfather. Maybe somebody says, we have 5 second round picks for you for the second rounder.
Well, and funny enough, I had a fan that was talking to me at the draft party.
Fred.
And he was saying, like, oh, the Jazz should trade the 32nd pick for a first-round pick in the future. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this guy, and I was like, you need to understand that if the Jazz somehow magically get a first-round pick for the 32nd pick in this draft, there is going to be some heavy protections on that first-round pick. I'm talking, like, top 10 lottery something. Like, there will be heavy protections mm-hmm. on that first round pick.
Yeah.
And granted, I'm speculating on his reaction because there wasn't really response after this, but he kind of just gave me this look and he was like, but it's practically a first round pick. That's how I went ahead and received the look. But yeah. I'm also sitting there and I'm like, these people need to go ahead and understand that Yes, even though we have now convinced ourselves that there are good players in this draft and we are fully investing ourselves into these guys because they will be playing for the teams that we'll be cheering for, these draft picks are not weighted the same as others.
Yep.
So you cannot take face value a 2024 second round pick and get, let's say, 2026 first rounder.
Yep.
Like, it's just not equal. Like, the Jazz are going to have to either give up more things to go ahead and get the one singular pick, or you are going to have some heavy protections. And I just don't see the Jazz trying to make that type of move. I think at this point it's either they make the pick and just tap out, it is what it is, or they go ahead and use that second round pick and trade back and potentially get like two.
I'm trying to remember. I want to say 2019. I can't remember. Like, it was probably the first year I was doing this pod. The Jazz had a very high second round pick. You know, probably the same era, 32, 33.
Was it when they got like Jarrell Brantley?
No, it wasn't that one. Because that was when they had a bunch of like late round second round picks. This one,
or maybe like Maione.
No, that was the same draft, I'm pretty sure, right?
Justin Wright Foreman.
Yes, that was so.
Nigel Williams.
Yeah, yeah. This was a draft where the Jazz already had two first round picks, and the 32, and like number 33. And it ended up being that they traded the early second round for just a future second rounder. And that was pretty much it. And that's like in a normal, quote-unquote, normal weighted draft that was, you know, fine or whatever. And I remember Jazz fans being kind of upset about that because, you know, they basically just kicked the can down the road. But, like, you're essentially just saying you're trading a second round pick for probably a worse, because it's probably not going to be another high 30. While you talk about this, I'll kind of look up the history because – at that point, the Jazz had already drafted two rookies, and in that situation, I said, well, the Jazz, you know, because they were solid, they still had
because, like, Donovan, this was still playoff and, yeah, Jazz.
Donovan and Rudy, teams. and maybe it's that draw. I don't remember. It's the 2019 Jazz draft. And then,
but, I mean, when it comes to the second round, like, you go ahead and take a look at the list, and again, we'll probably say this over and over again. We have talked ourselves into this draft class. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's a solid amount of people who were deemed first-round talent for this year's draft that are still available going into the second round. So when you have number 32, the second pick of the second round, you probably have a solid 10 guys that could be deemed as first-round talent that are still available right now. Mm-hmm. So as the Jazz, you know, sleep through the night, or, you know, Jay-Z is not sleeping through the night and making every phone call he possibly
not be.
Can.
He better not be. He better be on Adderall and energy drinks right now. His heart better be pumping.
But, like, as he's making those calls and the rest of the team's sleeping or whatever they might be doing going into tomorrow, there are a lot of decisions to be made, and I genuinely think that if the Jazz want to go ahead and make the most out of this pick, I think that they should pair this pick with a player and then maybe try and either turn that into future assets or maybe get a player that's on the last year of their contract. Like, just something to go ahead and give the Jazz a little more flexibility going into next season. It's a lot for them to go ahead and consider. Now that the draft is two nights, you have the time to go ahead and make those type of considerations. You can actually have some more trades actually develop and, you know, gain a little more traction through the night. But I'm just curious what making the second day just being for the second round for an NBA draft even happen. Why is that even something that was considered? Like, do you think that people will genuinely pay attention to the second round with it being on a separate day at the time that it is currently listed at?
I will ask that question or answer that question with a question. How many people were that interested in the second round before the switch?
I don't think
is that... Is it going to be that much worse than putting on a separate day, I guess, is my question.
Well, for ESPN, are they just seeing it as, like, a spot filler, like a time slot filler for them? Like, yeah, it's coming on at what, 4 Eastern? So 2 Mountain for us. What's really going on ESPN at 2 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
They're not worried about the ratings. So
we're in baseball season.
So at that point, it's like, all right, we're just going to have the second round going on here.
Yeah.
But it's – and plus, like, if you're the Utah Jazz and the Jazz fan base, after that second pick, are you paying attention? Like, the Jazz might do something and trade back into it. Don't know why they would. But, like, after that second pick, to be honest, I'm not tuning in after that.
Yeah,
like, I'll probably go on to ESPN's app later that day. And I'll go ahead and be like, oh, cool, that guy went there. Or, oh, this person was undrafted and they got signed here? Great. But there's just nothing luring me into that second round broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing would happen if it was on one day today. You know, at 9.
But even if it's the one day, it's like, oh, the draft is done.
Yeah. But
there was no reason to go ahead and turn it into a second day except for giving these teams more opportunity and, you know, potentially build any sort of excitement for the second round.
I think, depending on, what the cost was, it's probably, if not just sixes, it might be a little bit better. Again, because you have the better, because again, I asked Will Hardy this off topic, and I should ask Zanuck, but Will Hardy was like, it gives us a little bit of time because we would have been on the clock almost right after 29, and now we kind of have a chance to sleep on it. And Justin Zanuck will be on the phones now for the next few hours throughout the night, calling people. So a lot more time to kind of figure it out, and just to like take a breath, reset. The Jazz went from, number 10 to 29. So they had some time in between, but like, oh, the board's falling in a way. And last year, Justin Zanuck said he had predicted 1 through 8 what was going to happen and knew that Taylor Hendricks was going to be at 9. So that's kind of who they were zoned in on anyway. But this year, he's like, I'm not even trying because there's just no way. There's no way I could know. There's no way. Like, there's too much out there. That's too many variables out there to know, again. The only thing that's predictable about this draft is how unpredictable it is. I don't know if I said that on the spot. I know we talked about it before.
Yeah, I know we talked about it beforehand. But
I was saying, but that was something that Justin Zanuck said. To start his press conference off with was that this draft was so unpredictable. So, and now again, they get to look at the board, and be like, okay, cool. I brought this up last week. Like you and I were doing this dynasty mock draft, and there's sort of some similar things that we can take from is like, okay, cool. Now it's my turn. I have to wait. So many, these people are off the board now. Who's available to me now? If this was like a regular, whatever, like you have a chance to trade out of it. You have a chance to say, hey, if this guy's here, I want him. You can say, here's a group of 3 guys. I just want one of these 3 guys. If they're there, we should make the pick. And again, the Jazz will have the second pick in the second round. So they'll have a chance. They'll have a chance. And so, it'll be interesting to kind of, see how the second day goes. Like, is it going to be a huge ratings boost? Again, no, but you just talked about like, they might just have a baseball game, a random June baseball game on they're going against. So, it's one of those, like, is it really costing them that much? Probably not. They might get some more dividends out of it. Let's see. This is one of those like low cost, low risk. If it doesn't work, then let's go back to one day. But if the team seems like they like it, if they say break even on it, like it might just be like cool. Like it broke even this year. We can do stuff to add more pizzazz to it, and Bronny James is actually probably going to help ratings a little bit. Like people are going to watch because Bronny James is.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, Bronny James is still on the board. Logan just tweeted out like the Jazz are a 32nd pick away from choosing Bronny James from having a perfect draft. And I'd rather would have him at 10, but you know what? As long as the Jazz get him on the team, I'm all for it. Like get Bronny on the Jazz.
I think Bronny should stay as far away as possible from anything with highlighter yellow or mountain blue.
Why do you hate being good is my question. why do you not want, like how much is LeBron James worth to you? Is It just doesn't seem like it's that that hard to figure out.
Well, my thing is that, like, you're going to throw so much money at a very aging asset, and you'll go ahead and tell me the stats that he's putting up right now and what he's capable of, what he's done, the motivation he'll have playing with his son. None of that is any sort of motivation for me, because if you're going to go ahead and look at LeBron, how many times has he played in Utah in, like, the last decade? Not much. So, like, when you're going to go ahead and have that as him being an opponent, what makes you think that he is going to change the lifestyle of hometown, Miami nightlife, LA nightlife? And then you decide Salt Lake City, the place where I am despised by the fan base when I do play.
How many children have you birthed?
The same amount that you have.
Yeah, so, like, you just, I just don't think you understand the power of a father-son bond. How powerful that calling is to want to play with your son. But
I don't want a hovering parent on my team. I do not want LeBron to take over as the player coach. We do not need another Jackie Moon that can go ahead and get the ball in the basket.
I believe Jackie Moon's a champion.
And Jackie Moon can't pay his players. So I just don't want a hovering parent on this team. If Will Hardy does something that LeBron doesn't like, LeBron's going to have a little hissy fit. It's going to get back to Rich Paul. And then it's going to end up on ESPN. And then the whole, like, resolution of this problem is going to be, it's because they drafted Bronny. They need to go ahead and fire Will Hardy. We need to go ahead and get rid of this entire coaching staff. All because the Jazz decided to draft Bronny James at 32 with the hopes of signing LeBron James for a one-year deal at, $45 million, take up their whole cap space, and for an experiment for a losing season, and then LeBron's going to retire frustrated.
All I
hear
is
his one-day contract in Cleveland, and then you're good.
All I hear is Will Hardy, 0 championships, LeBron James, 4.
Still less than Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan's kid's not bringing Michael Jordan over to the team. So,
yeah, Michael Jordan's just having his kids bond with the Pippins,
as they should. I don't know why you think LeBron James, coming to the Jazz, is not going to bring a championship. That boggles my mind. LeBron James comes to Utah, and all his friends are like, you know what? Yeah, we want to, like.
But,
like,
I do not want the NBA retirement home here. Everywhere LeBron goes, he gets every aging star, and what, that maybe worked once?
Well, you know what? Just has to work
with the Lakers in the bubble. That's the only time that I've seen the aging asset thing
Darren
work.
Darren Williams couldn't do it. Donovan Mitchell couldn't do it. LeBron James would make Utah the mecca of basketball. This is what mountain basketball is all about.
Maybe he can learn some lyrics to some songs while he's out here in Utah. Who knows?
And so that's the, I think you're just trying to shit on this dream. And
I just don't want to see him in a Jazz jersey. Don't get me wrong. I think that the way that he plays is absolutely phenomenal. He is a monster, especially with how long he's been able to do it. I do not want him in a Jazz jersey at this moment in time. If you would have asked me this maybe a decade ago, 100%. That's LeBron freaking James.
LeBron James at 39 is still better than
LeBron James at 39 is two steps away from being in a wheelchair.
He is not. He's still amazing.
The moment he flies over Utah, he gets a cold, he breaks a toe, his pinky now hurts, and he has to wear a sweater and sit on the end of the bench.
There's no evidence that Utah makes him LeBron sick.
He sits on the tail end of the bench every time he's in Utah. I legit think that in the time that I have lived in Utah for 3 years, I have seen him play in 3 games. The Lakers have been in Utah 12 times since I've been here. You're telling me LeBron can only play 25% of the games here, but we can go ahead and put him on this giant pedestal that he is just so healthy for his age, which he is. Like, he has done better than any other 39-year-old ever in
the
NBA.
So are we saying that LeBron James is not playing in Utah because of injury?
He always manages to have one when he comes here.
And even when he does play, there's always a questionable on him. Mm. Always. Always. I think there's maybe one or two instances where he didn't have an injury. There's even been times where he wasn't even injured and he didn't even make the trip.
My Dr. House is coming out. It's my Everybody Lies.
LeBron could be lying. It's the player management. Who knows?
Yeah. That's
I just don't want him in a Jazz jersey. I really don't want it. And this is going to make me sound like such a bad person and a LeBron hater. I am not. But I just do not want him to be in a Jazz jersey, especially if it's drafting Bronny to get him here. It's just such a bad investment, in my opinion.
Oh, man. I can't think of a better investment. Like I put all my stock into it. Do it now. My Jazz fan, I will be emotional again. I will love every second of it because that is the closest the Jazz will ever get to a championship. Larry Markkanen is not bringing you a championship. Donovan and Rudy didn't bring you a championship.
See, this stock is going to be the same as GameStop, in my opinion. It's going to skyrocket for memes, and then Robin Hood is going to notice how high it's going, and they're going to shut it down so it drops, plummets 6 feet under. Mm. I just don't see it.
I mean, look.
Because you think LeBron would willingly come to Utah? Like, yes, father, son, cool. But you think that he's going to come to Utah willingly? What is he going to come
because
out here
he's
and
a
do?
Good...
Is he going to go on hikes? His knees aren't going to be good for that. He's not going to go and do that.
I mean, if they don't go on hikes
but like,
for promotionals.
But for LeBron, what else is he going to do? He's going to fly everywhere for be in Utah unless he has to work.
He's going to be a present father in his child's life.
And he's going to present a flight somewhere else.
He's a father that wants to spend time with his child.
In a flight somewhere else.
And he's a father
other
that
than Salt Lake.
Wants to be in, you know, close to, you know, like just, again, the being a good father is, he wants his legacy to be known that he was a good father on his, like, all the all-star accomplishments, all the MVPs, all the championships, they will be on his tombstone right below LeBron James, good father.
And as a good father, he would say, listen, bud, you don't want to rot in Utah. Let's get you somewhere where you'll get a chip. Real fast. And real fast is not Utah.
I really overshot what year I was talking about. This 2014 is the last time the Jazz had they had the number 35 pick.
What draft was that? Why am I blanking?
You the Jazz had two very high profile picks that year.
Was that Trey Burke year?
That was Dante Exum year. That was the Dante Exum at 5, and then Rodney Hood, Rodney the Hood, fell to him at 23, and you know that was a pretty good that was a draft that came
at
out
at that point in time. Those were solid
those
picks.
Were like I remember I wasn't working here yet, but I you know the people I did know were I was actually in Vietnam at the time, which is kind of funny, and I was getting messages. I woke up to like a bunch of messages, time difference and everything, right? And they're like, oh my god, the Jazz got Exum. Who did not work out with the Jazz, but it was supposed to be a top four pick. The Jazz got Ronnie Hood, who just came off that Duke team, looked really good. Like, I can't believe Ronnie Hood fell to the Jazz. He was so great, but I did remember seeing the Jazz. The Jazz had the number 35 pick that year, and they traded it to Memphis just for a future second-round pick. I'm almost sure of that. And it was just one of those, like, well, why aren't you making that pick? Because the Jazz, you know, had a solid team. But they already drafted two rookies, you know, getting a third. This is, you know, is the logic at that time was, you know, you don't need a third rookie that's not going to get messed on the team. You know, kick the can down the line. That 35th pick ended up being Jarnell Stokes. So, again, nothing special. But very similar to the conversation we're having today is like, you're at 32. Do you want to draft a third rookie when you already have six other younger guys on the team? You know, if you trade the second round pick, you're probably most likely not getting a pick that's better back, unless it's a package. And so, it's one of those, and not saying that thought process back then was wrong, not saying the thought process this year, it's just kind of funny in 10 years, situations are just always fluid. And sometimes what was right in 2014, sometimes what we write in 2023 is not the same blueprint that you use in 2024. So That's the point I'm trying to make, I guess.
So, and then when you're looking at that, I also want to put into consideration, like, roster. Because you got to think, THT is gone. Thank the Lord. Chris Dunn.
He's not on another team yet.
I mean, he's a free agent. I swear, if they go ahead and bring him back, they better not sign him back for that $11 million. If it's that $11 million, shoot, you and I will riot.
Let's not count our chickens before they chick. You know. So.
But then, like even like Chris Dunn, like he's gone. You don't have any guarantee with with Darius Baisley or Kenny Lofton Jr.
Yep.
Then I believe Lucas Samanich, his contract isn't guaranteed yet, or he's gone. Ju Zhang and Potter, their two-way contracts are officially done, or they're, like, restricted free agents. Kyra Lewis Jr., he's also free agent. So, like, you got a decent amount of roster spots that you need to cover.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, even with this 32nd pick, I mean...
Yeah, I mean,
you're filling the roster, you're getting guys for cheap, and then you're able to go ahead and use that money for free agency if you really choose to do so. Or you can go ahead and, you know, still stockpile your money. So,
like, kick the tires on a rookie. Yeah, I situations like it's one of the things that, like, so I probably didn't have the podcast. I definitely not have the podcast in 2014, but I probably have somewhere like tweeted or on Facebook saying, you know, don't get mad about this second round pick, guys. Like, the Jazz had already have two high profile rookies. You know, it just doesn't make sense to get the third. While, you know, this time around, it might make sense for the Jazz to get the third. And it also might not, you know, just, you know, the Jazz have options. And so this doesn't really matter too much. So, all right, Alma. Well, you know, we believed, they believed, we all believed. And the Jazz have a draft, you know, quick grade. Just give me a quick grade on the draft.
I would say a solid A.
Solid A. Whew. All right. Emma Stone movie, easy A. So Alma, you know, go follow him at the Twitterverse, AlmaBean23, at AlmaBean23, writes for the Hive Sports Network, podcast for the Believe Sports Network, going to, you know, probably work for a Utah Sports Network at some point.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. And, you know, you can follow me on the Twitterverse at HooTransSuperman. That's HUUTRN Superman. You can also follow Jazz High Notes. That's Jazz High Notes number 2. That's Jazz High Notes 2 on Twitter. Please follow. I believe, like, because I'm not a blue check mark, people are just not seeing my tweets anymore because I've sent some pretty good bangers and nobody's really commenting.
See, and so. I don't put out bangers and shoot. I got 25,000 views on just one video of an empty arena.
Alma's just printing cash right now on Twitter.
All,
so
all 35 cents.
All right. thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.